Sometimes we think God's just up in the clouds. He's just above where the planes fly. He's not. He's a lot bigger than that. Most of you know I'm not Pastor Wes. I always tell you this every time I speak. I'm way better looking than him. I hope he watches this. So today, we're in the middle of the holiday season, right? It's Christmas. We all watch Christmas movies, and you know, we have a tradition. We watch a particular movie every year in our house. And what are some of your favorite Christmas movies? Tim, what's your favorite? Got a good one? Jingle All the Way. Anybody else? Denise, I know you've got a favorite. She's got about 10 Hallmark movies, I think. She's got Home Alone. It's a Wonderful Life. What else we got? Elf. Christmas Vacation. That's my favorite. I feel like I'm Cousin Eddie sometimes. I've got this dent in my head. And it seriously, I do. I was attacked by a dog when I was a kid. And people I work with said, "Do you got a metal plate in there? Because like Cousin Eddie?" I said, "No, like, it's just my normal." So that explains a few things about me, is why. Sometimes I'll be looking through Netflix or Amazon Prime or something, and Shane and I are trying to find a movie to watch, and there are so many stinking movies out there. It's hard to find anything to watch. It's not hard to find anything to watch. It's find something you want to watch. So I'll spend 20 minutes trying to find a movie, and then we just say the heck with it and go to bed or something. So many things. Life is kind of like a full-length feature film. It's kind of like a forever full-length feature film that God is the divine director. He's invited us to set it and observe, and his Christmas story. His story, the script is in the Bible. This is our script right here, this Bible. He wants us to be part of, wants us to be in the cast of his movie. He wants us to be part of that movie. He wants us to partake with him. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. Dr. Luke, you know, Luke was a physician. And so this is the account of the Christmas story from his perspective as a doctor. And he's going to tell us how this movie unfolded in Luke chapter 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. And there they were in the same country. Again, these shepherds were out tending the sheep. They were watching over the flock at night. They were probably tending the sacrificial sheep that were used. And some of you may know that, you know, to atone for your sins back then, they would take an innocent lamb and they would, through their sacrificial system, spill the blood of on the altar to atone for the sins of man. So the shepherds were in the fields. They were just outside of Bethlehem, and the shepherds were abiding in the field. They were keeping watch over the flock at night. They were pulling an all-nighter. Can you imagine that? Without coffee or espresso or something? I'm too old for that now. In the next verse it says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord," probably Gabriel, "came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were afraid." They were greatly afraid. Can you imagine that? You're just out minding your own business, tending the flock, and all of a sudden the angel of the Lord appears, and it's like, what is this, a UFO? What is going on here? I don't know what to do. The glory of the God would be summed up. It's God's total attributes. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. His number one attribute is being holy. From holiness you have holy love, holy grace, holy sovereignty. These angels were going to find out and have been outside to the universe. Now, sometimes we think God's just up in the clouds. He's just above where the planes fly. He's not. He's a lot bigger than that. He's way bigger than that. And he's telling these angels, he's charging them to go billions and billions of miles, find the Milky Way, which is a small galaxy, send them to Earth, find a particular place, Bethlehem, find these shepherds outside of Bethlehem to deliver this message. You know, there's a little star that they, you know, the sun, they had to locate this. in a nanosecond. That's how big God is. So many times we just don't understand how big our God is. When you hear the word glory, God is glory. It's the isness of God. It's what God is. You'll never understand it. It's hard to understand with an earthly mind how big God is and what His glory means. The Bible says that real quick when we leave this earth, we're what? We're going translated to heaven. If you're a believer, you're translated to heaven in this full-length feature forever film that God's put in your life. And you'll be in His glory. You know, we'll get glorified bodies. Thank God. I want to trade mine in. If I bought this thing at Walmart, I'd take it back. It's broke. I got a new knee last year. I set off metal detectors wherever I go now. It's working out okay. It just takes a long time to get over. But I can't wait for that new glorified body. Because if we went up there like this, we wouldn't be able to hang it. Well, it wouldn't. Our bodies couldn't take it. The glory of God. Our bodies just. The glory of God is intrinsic. It's self-generating, self-perpetuating. The glory of God is independent. In other words, God doesn't need your glory or my glory. He just doesn't need more likes or retweets or clicks. He doesn't need that. That is Him. That is what He is. It's like cold is to ice. It's like what wet is to water. Glory is to God. It's the same. Ice doesn't search for cold. It is cold. Water doesn't search for wetness. It is wet. God doesn't search for glory. He is glory. God is glory. His attributes and activities are reflected in who He is. It's the brilliant blaze of who He is. So we're made to glorify God. Have you ever heard this question? You probably heard it over and over, maybe on shows. What's the meaning of life? What is the meaning of life? Does anybody know what the meaning of life is? Well, I'm going to tell you. $5 is going to cost you. Line up down the middle, I'll tell you. Basically, the meaning of life is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. What does it mean to glorify God? You reflect Him in your life and in my life. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we touch, everything we feel, if we don't glorify God in those things, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss what God has for us. We're going to miss what our role is in this great movie that He set out before it. If we miss our role, we're going to be just searching around aimlessly. We're just going to be looking. We're just going to be lost, essentially. We're looking to glorify God in everything we do because He's the great director. He's the divine director. He's offering us an amazing role in His movie. And are you going to take it? Are you going to accept His role? So let's go back to the scripture. The angel came upon the shepherds and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were very afraid. I would be afraid as well. It would freak me out a little bit, this angel appearing. And the angel said unto them, in verse 10, it says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of joy, which will be a sign of people." See, God's good. He's good in everything He does. That doesn't mean we always understand God. There are many things we don't understand about God. There's a lot of things I don't understand about God. We still have to have faith. I don't understand how this works, but it works. I have faith that it'll work. When I place a call, it works most of the time, probably 90% of the time. We have faith in things. We have faith in people. Sometimes we don't have faith in God. You know, it's hard to have faith in something you can't see sometimes, isn't it? I got faith in my wife, but really I need to have faith in God first. I got to understand those things. I don't have enough faith to become a Christian. Have you ever heard that before? I don't have enough faith to become a Christian. See, that's a bunch of malarkey. We all have enough faith. He's given us each enough faith to become a Christian. So the deal is here, we're made to glorify God. We're hardwired to glorify God. And we always glorify something else. Sometimes we lift up athletes, or we lift up people or parties or things over what God has done, what's God doing in our lives. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's not about our lives. It's about Him. You know, when you put the cards on the table, if things aren't going well, you've probably got things out of order in your life a little bit. You probably got something out of order, you know, God first, then those things afterwards. You probably got something messed up out of order. The angel announced something that was just earth-shattering. It snapped the heads of the shepherds. People were freaking out. But the angel said, good tidings of great joy. God is good. We don't understand how good He is. You know, sometimes there's not enough understanding of, we try to understand God in everything we do. We try to put Him in this box, and we try to think like He thinks, but we're thinking with our brain how God thinks. Our brain is flawed. It's not perfect like God's is. God's glory is so massive, it can take our doubts, it can take our questions, it can take our pain, our suffering, our remorse. The glory of God is unbelievable. Jesus came to the earth, lived a perfect life. Has anybody in here lived a perfect life? No wrong thought, no wrong action. The thought is the problem, really, right? No wrong decision. Jesus lived a perfect life. He was tortured, died on the cross for our sins, and something that you and I don't deserve. For something you and I don't deserve. See, God allowed that. What seemed like defeat was complete victory. So in many situations in life where we don't understand, we say, God, I don't understand it. I prayed that they'd be healed. I prayed that this would happen. I don't understand it. And God promises that you will understand it someday. You'll understand what His plan was someday. It's the glory of God. It's magnificent. It's holy. His ways are higher than ours. You can't figure out God. Believe me, I've tried to figure out God. I'm like, God, if I were you, I would do this. And it doesn't work that way. He puts things in perspective so many times in our lives, then we put the wrong emphasis on things in life. We focus on the wrong things in life. And sometimes it's our internal voice that's causing those issues. We're saying things to ourselves that aren't true. We're saying things to ourselves that we start speaking out. We're playing a tape recorder in our head and we have the wrong playlist. The correct playlist is what does God say about you? What does He say you are? What does He say you can do? Those are the things you got to play in your head. That's hard to do, isn't it? I mean, we live in a world where everything's bombarded after you all the time. You can get notifications, you get email, you get text messages, you can watch TV 24/7. I remember when I was a kid at midnight, the TV station stopped playing. I know that's hard to believe. When MTV came out, I thought, ESPN Sports came out, I thought, how are they going to have something to show 24 hours a day on sports? Well, they found it. I mean, I think they did okay. I mean, I couldn't believe somebody would actually have a 24-hour news network. Who needs to know the news 24 hours? Well, then it just keeps going from there. We get distracted and we have the wrong narrative in our heads. We lose touch with what God's told us to do, His magnificence, His holiness. We try to figure it out on our own. So that's why the Christmas story is so awesome. That's why this movie is so awesome, that God did this for us. He did this for us. Then the first angel shows up, and the more angels showed up in verse 11. For unto you this day, the city of David, a Savior. A Savior. We didn't need a CEO. We didn't need a president. We didn't need a coach. We needed a Savior because of our sin, right? We didn't need somebody to point out our sin. We just need to be saved from our sin. I'm a natural born sinner. We all are. We were born into this world that's not a perfect place. and we're natural born sinners. I needed a Savior, and so do you. Verse 12, it says, "And this shall be a sign unto you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, white cloths." And I, you know, it's like a peace flag or a surrender flag lying in a manger. The manger's like the peace treaty that was signed, sealed, and delivered through the birth of Jesus. Verse 13, "And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God." Can you imagine seeing all these angels praising God? How awesome would that choir be? I mean, these guys up here are pretty good. But, well, half of them I'm related to, so I better say they're pretty good. I'm married to one, father to a couple other ones. Yeah, I better be careful there. But, you know, the angels, Kanye's choir ain't got nothing on the angels. I mean, those guys can sing. It would be an unbelievable concert to attend. They're absolutely ginormous. They were ridiculous. They were unbelievable. And they said, number one, glory to God in the highest. That's the number one thing the angel said. And they've been saying that on their playlist forever. They glorify God every day, all day. Singing to God. Glory to God in the highest. But then they added the second phrase. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That's the number one billing, is glorifying God. The number two billing is peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Don't flip the script. Don't, in other words, try to get your wants and your needs ahead of glorifying God. Because that's when we get out of order. We start putting our own story, our own movie together, and I'm going to run it, and I'm going to be in charge of it. Jesus, you can come in when you want. I'll let you in. God gave us a free will. You know, He'll let us do that. He'll let you run your own show. But when you get out of order, things aren't right. There's a heavenly order to things, and I believe it. And when you get those things, even in your own life, you get those things out of order where you don't glorify God and then let God be the leader of your life, be the divine director of your life, that's when things get out of order, when you start taking control of your own life. That's why a lot of people don't stick with church. They don't like not being in control. My daughter, my oldest, Madison, she's a little bit of a control freak. She is a type A personality, like her mother. And, she has lists, right, Mad? You probably got three lists on your phone right now. I could probably pull it up. Trenton? Yeah. Yeah. She's yours now. I raised her for 22 years. I'm done. But now I've got the other two still coming along. I don't know. Thank goodness Cassidy and Madison were not both type A's. Thank goodness Cassidy's a lot more laid back, because there would have been a lot more fights at our house with those two. And good thing Brian was so much younger than Madison, because there would be fights in the house. There's the other type A in our household. Cassidy and I, we're just easy going, right, Cass? We just get along with everything, right? That's right. You guys think our lives are so peaceful. Like my friend Brian's here. He recently moved back to McCracken, and he's grew up in Texas. We went to college together. Matter of fact, that's who my son Brian is named after, is Brian. So we got a lot of Brians in our lives. We got to specify Brian, which one. But Brian, sometimes I deal with crazy every day, whether it be cattle, whether it be family, whether it be something. Sometimes that's the way this world is. We deal with crazy every day. And if you don't have your ducks in a row and you keep God, glory to the highest, in the first position, it'll take you out. If you don't make the primary and the secondary, you get them flipped around, you can get a lot of trouble. There are all these different types of movies, right? What's the, there's a romance, there's action adventure, which I particularly like. There's all kinds of drama, right? Drama would be one of the different themes of movies. In this story with God, it's got all those. It's got drama. You know, you think about the drama. The devil called Lucifer. He was in the heavens. He praised God. He was the leader of worship in heaven. And he got out of order, right? He started putting himself above God. And he, instead of God first, it was Lucifer first. And God said, "Nah, we ain't going to have that. You're out of here." Right? He kicked him out of heaven, took a third of the angels with him. And that's how much influence this guy had. This angel had, This angel had is a third of the angels followed him. I mean, think about that. You've seen things over, you know, in history where how many people followed Hitler? I mean, pure evil, but followed him. Lucifer, they knew they were out of order, but they followed him anyways. You know, they threw him out of heaven, and now they're in the realm of demons, the demonic, in the demonic in our world today. If you don't think there's evil in this world today, open your eyes. Look around. Yeah, turn on the news. Just read the paper. Go online. We all have this this pull to sin, but that's why we've got to get our life right, because God made a way so that our sins are taken care of. He saved us from ourselves. That's unbelievable. Sometimes we compare ourselves to other people, right? Oh, I'm not as bad as them. Sometimes I look at myself and say, I'm not so good compared to them. And I need to do a little work. It's always easy to compare yourself and say, oh, I'm not as bad as that guy. I mean, he murdered 10 people. I'm way better than him. Sin's a sin. We needed a Savior for it all. Not just one thing, all of it. It'll incarcerate you. It'll hold you captive. It'll separate you from God. That's why we have the good news of Jesus Christ. Think about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve did the same thing. They were born in the Garden of Eden. I mean, not in Lucas or Luray. Where's the Garden of Eden? Lucas, not in that Garden of Eden. They were in the Garden of Eden, which was a perfect place. It was perfect. They were glorifying God all day, but they chose to flip the script. They chose their own pathway through deception to flip the script. They chose to get out of line, and that's what created sin in the earth. And that's how it entered the equation. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." There's the word again, glory of God. So there's the horror pictures. I don't like those movies. You guys like horror movies? Oh, some of the advertisements just scare me. These people, who thinks of this stuff? Sometimes the horror movies are... But you talk about horror movies. Adam and Eve sinned. And what did God do? He did something. He gave them an innocent animal, killed it, spilled the blood on the soils of the Garden of Eden. He used the coverings of the animals to make clothes for them, to cover their nakedness, foreshadowing a coming attraction. What's the coming attraction? When Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again, we became a believer. Galatians 3:27 tells us that for all who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves in Christ. I'm clothed in Christ. It's not my righteousness, it's His righteousness. He took my place. Took your place, and we step into a supporting role in this movie. We're born again, we're saved, we're rescued. The horror of sin and the payment's been paid, and we fall short of God's glory without a Savior. So there's a gap between us and God, and Jesus made up that gap. We're clothed in His righteousness, in Christ's righteousness. I don't care how philosophical you are, how religious you are, or how smart you are, how rich you are, how big you are, how bad you are, one day you're going to die. It's 100%. I checked the stats before I got here. 100%. you don't make it out. Maybe I'm ruining the movie for some of you guys, but you're going to die someday. But, you know, are you ready to live like God wants you to live? Are you ready to die in this full-length film? Die to yourself? You know, you're not going to, and then you get to live with Him forever. Forever you get to live with Him. Your role starts here. God orchestrated this amazing adventure to have Jesus be born in a manger, a crib, and then to live this perfect life, to die on the cross for our sins. So the crib, the cross, and then to rise again to the empty tomb, the crypt. So you could say Christmas is about the crib, the cross, and the crypt. It's an action adventure show. I mean, I think it's kind of interesting. Pastor West did a message last week about the crib and the cross, and I was sitting there talking to Shane. And I said, I think Pastor's been looking at my notes because again, I think it's awesome that it just happened that way. The last song that they played, what was the being Jesus's story or something like that? Hello, people. Holy Spirit, maybe. The crib, the cross, and the crypt. Good night. The crib, the cross, and the crypt. It's what we were fortunate enough to experience. On top of that, you got romance. God has romanced you. You're not here because of an accident. You're not hearing this because you just happened to walk in the door. You're not hearing this on the internet just because you just happened to click on it. God, if God can arrange all of this, He can arrange you to be here, to hear this message. He can arrange you to get the timing of this just right. It did happen by just accident. Someone didn't just invite you, or my parents drugged me here. Right, Brian? Little Brian. Sorry. Not big. Pretty soon he's going to be Big Brian, and we'll be in trouble. You're here for a reason. The divine director Himself set this up. He set you up to be here. You know, I can't make the decision for you. I wish I could. I can't force you into making a choice. It's up to you. You got to listen to God. But, you know, there is this thing that we go through in judgment. When we accept Christ, you're born again, you're going to heaven. But it's what you do after you've accepted Christ is what you're going to be judged on in heaven. It says it. It's in the Bible. What are you doing with your time, with your talents, with your what God's given you, your blessings, your gifts? What are you doing with them? You may be born again and going to heaven. Great. But what are you doing here to glorify God on this side? What are the steps you're taking to help God out, so to speak? Christians. I'm talking about Christians. If you're a Christian, you've been robbed, you've been robed in righteousness. You will be judged. I don't mean whether or not you're going to heaven, but you will be judged on what you did here. You ever seen the Academy Awards or anything like that? They walk down the red carpet, right? Who you wearing? Who's your designer? They have some weird outfits too. I don't know. The weirder, the better, apparently. All these A-listers going through the thing, but you're robed in the righteousness of Christ. You have the ultimate designer. You're clothed in Christ. You know, are you going to accept your role in this movie? It's going to be a supporting role. What are your gifts? What are your abilities? What are you doing with them? Everybody has them. What are you doing with them? Are you just sitting at home? Are you just not doing anything with them? Those are the things we got to get to that next level of being a Christian. Born again is great. Don't get me wrong. But it's what you do with that after you've been born again. There's this one movie. The one movie is called Glory. The one villain is the devil. The one star is Jesus. The one script is the Bible. One audience is God. And one theme is the rescue. And one supporting role, and that's you. You're the supporting role in this movie. Are you going to accept this role? That's because there's going to be levels in heaven. You're going to have different roles in heaven too. What are you doing with what God gave you? Many people think, well, you know, I prayed a little prayer. I'm saved. That's good enough. I don't think it's good enough. I think you need to decide what you're going to do, what you're gifted at. Maybe it's just talking to people. Maybe it's just one of them. Maybe it's just being a friend. Maybe you're a good friend. Maybe it's just being a good listener. But you have talents and abilities that you can use, that God wants you to use for His glory. You know, where we go, what we say, what we listen to, those are all factors in it. How we treat people. You know, sometimes I'm not perfect at it, obviously. I mean, some of you know me. I'm not perfect at it. Sometimes I get focused on myself, just like you do. Sometimes I get distracted, just like you do. But that's when you gotta somewhat grab yourself by the ear and kind of direct yourself back in there, back into God, spending time with Him. My son, he's been the wrestling manager for the middle school this last 8 weeks or whatever. I don't know. He's a manager, but they let him work out once in a while. But the bad part of this thing is they start practice at 6 a.m. And I've got to get him up at 5 and feed him and get him there. And then I come home. And you know what? Once we got adjusted to it, it was kind of nice to have extra time in the morning, because I could sit and pray and just be in the moment with God by myself. And sometimes I'd listen to music. Sometimes I'd read. Sometimes I'd just sit there. And that was pretty nice. 5 a.m. alarm, though, was pretty early. But once you got used to it, I asked Brian the other day, I said, hey, do you want to keep getting up at 5 and maybe we could go out and do something at the pit and do some hitting or whatever? And he's thinking about it. He might do that. You got to do things that other people won't do to do things other people can't do. And that's all part of it. It's just part of being a Christian, too. You got to get up and do things that other people won't do so you can do what God's called you to do. You know, God doesn't throw anybody into hell. It's not his deal. He doesn't throw you in hell. You choose to go there. You choose to deny Christ. And if you think hell's going to be a party, it is not going to be a party with your friends. You're going to be utterly separated from God for eternity because you desired to be separated from God here. You desired to not spend time and not accept Him, not accept your role in His moving. You're going to have a greater measure of what you desired on earth. And it's utterly isolation, weeping and gnashing of teeth. That doesn't sound very fun to me. I don't think so. It's just your choice, though. See, that's what is so amazing about God is, could He make you love Him? Absolutely, He could. He's powerful enough to do it. He could make you do what He wants Him to do. What He wants you to do. He could make you do that. But see, that's the greatest gift He gave you, is a free will. He gave you the free will to choose. But He also gave you the answer. Choose life, right? Choose God. He gave you the answer. It's like, you know, having a pop test and having the answers right there. The answers are right here. You guys have all been taught this stuff. You've all been taught this stuff here. We've had, Pastor West does a great job of telling us what the Word says. You've all been given this information before. And it's nothing earth-shattering or new. Maybe it's a little different twist by saying, you know, there's this big movie and we're all part of this big movie that God's orchestrated for us, this forever movie. But it's really the same thing we've heard over and over and over. The thing is what are we doing with it? Where are we going with it? What are you going to do with it? You know, the movie that we've talked about all along is this Christmas story where God became man to save us from ourselves. The cross, the crib, the crypt. You know, that's really what it's about. It's hard to believe that if you were the only one here, He would have came and saved you. That's how much He loves you. And I think sometimes we take that for granted. I do. I'm guilty of it. I forget the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. I forget that. Or I don't think about it enough. Maybe that's what it is. I don't necessarily, every day of my life, walk perfectly with Christ. I just don't. Thank God for grace. Thank God for holy grace. Thank God for that in our lives. God, He's just waiting on you. He's just waiting on you. He's been pulling at you for a long time. He's just waiting for you to make a step toward Him. You know, this glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. The role for your soul is absolutely awesome, ladies and gentlemen. It's God's will and His plan to robe you and clothe you in righteousness, to rescue you, to save you, to turn your life around so you can keep living this full-length forever feature film with Him. And you're like, well, Brandon, why does my life stink right now? I have all this stuff in my life right now. I'm thinking maybe something might be out of order. Because when things get out of order in my life stinks. But then you got to turn back and say, you know what? I got a pretty awesome wife. I got a pretty awesome kids. I live in a nice house. I have a house. I have a car. You start counting those blessings in your life and you're thinking, maybe I don't have it so bad after all. Maybe I got things pretty dang good. And get off your pity party and get after it, right? And it's easy to say. It's hard to do. It's easy to point out things that you don't do well, because there's things I don't do well. Obviously, I don't exercise well. Obviously, I don't eat well. I eat too well, apparently. But those are things in my life that I've got to work on. I'm no different than you. The only difference is I have this Madonna mic on and I'm telling you a story about Jesus. That's the difference. So, just accept your role. Accept your role in this body. Accept your role in this life. Accept your role in this world. And do what God's told you to do. It's as simple as that. Sometimes I tell my kids that. Do what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it. They don't like that very much. Do what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it. I'm training them. It's my job to train them so they listen to God. I'm training them to listen and do what they're told to do when they're told to do it. Sometimes we get so rebellious, it's unbelievable. Sometimes we get, nobody can tell us what to do. We start putting us over everything. Start putting our lives over everything. That's sometimes what this world's so screwed up about. Selfishness. Nothing more teaches you to be anti-selfish is, number one, have kids. Realize that you ain't the boss anymore. You got responsibilities to take care of, right? You got to be a parent. You know, the other thing, I firmly believe this, and I've done it for years. I believe tithing. I believe that if you're a tither, you're saying it's bigger than me. I need God's help. It's something I do really well. That's one thing I do good. I tithe well. I don't do everything good, but I can tithe well. And the tithe is so huge, we just don't even understand it sometimes, how big the important the tithe is. I'll do a tithe check in my house once in a while. I'll be asking my girls, hey, you been tithing? I don't go and look in their bank account. I could, but I don't. But are you tithing? Because that takes it from you to God. It removes the self and places it in God's hand. What happens after that? That doesn't matter. You did what you were supposed to do. And I know, we're talking about money. I'm going to get on sex here in a minute. Then politics. I'm going to end with politics. We're going to full circle this thing and wrap it up. And simple message today, right? Simple message. What are you going to do in God's in the role God's called you to do? Where are you at with Christ? Where are you at with your walk? I gotta do checkups on myself, because I'm not always at the right place I need to be at too. I'm just a human being just like you. What are you doing? Are you willing to accept this role in Christ? Let's pray. We'll close with this. Lord, we're so thankful today. We're so thankful for your word, but most of all, we're thankful for Christ, that you sacrificed your only son so that we could live with you forever. Lord, we just don't take that lightly. We just don't pretend to understand how that all works. But we know one thing. We know that you love us. We know that you care about us. We know that you want us to be part of your kingdom to glorify you forever. Lord, let us take steps to glorify you on this side. Use our abilities, our talents, our gifts to glorify you in all that we do. Lord, we just want to please you most of all. Put ourselves second. Put you first. Lord, we just thank you that we continue to just strive to be more like you each and every day. We thank you for the blessings, the continued blessings in our lives. Lord, we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.